You're listening to Solutions for Earth. I'm your host, Broderick, and today's guest is Fabian Fublinski, who is the founder and product lead of Xchange, which is a collaboration for early stage startups. He is the strategic advisor for Biomimicry Academy, and he is also the strategic advisor and founder and CEO for Cobiome, or at least he was at one point. And in this conversation, we speak a lot about biomimicry, business, and how those two intersect, and his deep understanding of that. So I hope you enjoyed as much as I did.
I'm originally a neuroscientist, I grew up with biology and understanding how life works, how the human works. And at the same time, I always wanted to have impact on how the world develops and towards a better a better situation than the one we're living in now, also for the future generation. So, and this nicely came together in biomimicry to learn from nature how to see how the only one sustainable system on the planet works in order to build our own human system a better way. That's what I found in biomimicry. And then I asked myself, okay, how can we use that to apply how people work together, how we apply the innovation, how we create social systems.
Yeah. And so is that what you're doing with Regenerative Reboot?
So Regenerative Reboot is one of many projects, and I really like it because what we're doing here is we create a business model support entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, all female founders in Mexico to develop business models that help themselves, empower them, emancipate them, but also help the community around them. And not only through the business, but also teach them how to multiply the impact they have and how to teach that to other people. So especially this multiplicatory effect of how to learn how to build better systems also based on biological solutions, and then how to multiply that by passing on the knowledge that is something that what we see essential to a regeneration, and also learning a lot from biomimicry and how people and networks work together.
That's amazing. So how do you create like a business model that mimics nature?
Yeah, so when you look at biomimicry or originally you look at technical bionics or biomimetics, and then you try to learn and extract knowledge from nature to copy principles, mostly on a technological level. Now, things become a lot more interesting when you create not only forms, shapes, surfaces, but you create systems. That is how value is produced. And that value is not just extracted for your own benefit of your company, but it is used to create more benefit for your surrounding. And there you have actually a system that is regenerative, that creates, as we say in biomimicry, conditions conductive to life, to create more life. Here it is to create more economic benefit. So actually creating mutual beneficial systems is the essence of creating meaningful business models. And especially when it comes to bringing different stakeholders together and creating systems that work like platforms. Like several people produce not only exchange value, but produce more value together. And then, of course, a business model always needs a revenue stream. That is, you have, of course, the value exchange between the parties, sometimes several parties, not only two. And then you yourself as the mediator, as the facilitator, as basically the ecosystem where that happens, you take a part of that profit as well.
And that's what you do.
And that's what we do. We created the system, the platform, technical platform for Regenerative Reboot. We we call it multi-stakeholder projects. That is, we bring together business players with nonprofits to ensure quality control, and with researchers to, base, of course, decisions on science, and sometimes even policymakers to create the frame, the like social political framework. And we bring them together and say, how do we, for example, reduce carbon footprints in the food industry? How do we make plastic an asset that is only used circular, that we don't have losses anymore that go into the ocean? But how do we make that economically viable? This is a huge challenge. Well, that's what we're building. And that's what, excites me.
That's incredible. Yeah. So making, regenerating the planet and doing all the things that we need to do economically and business, like savvy and viable. What's a great example that you would like to share of that, like happening successfully?
Yeah. So one of the projects that we're starting right now, and it's going to be our flagship project at Cobayam, that is the plastic platform Plastrate. And what we're doing here is we close basically, we record and tokenize the plastic loop throughout the whole industry. That is from manufacturing through CPG production, retail, collection of waste, and then recycling. Now, in nature, there is no waste. Everything is recycled. Everything is a circular by definition. So we need to create the same systems. Now, we can do that even with something like plastic that is not biologically degradable, so that doesn't have a biological cycle, but can close these loops. Now, there has to be an interest for all parties to close that loop. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. If you lose something and you can buy it again, then the loop is not closed. So we actually have to incentivize that when manufacturers and product producers, that they have an interest in increasing the recycling rate, in building their products in a way that makes sense. And we do that through tokenizations using blockchain, using decentralized technologies, also, and again, the biological principle, everything in nature is decentralized. Yeah. And then distribute these tokens all over the chain. So when everybody works together to close that loop more, everybody benefits.
I love that. So it sounds like, and I kind of heard this across a number of people, but blockchain is really playing a role in the ability to transform society into something that is more clearly works for everybody. And it sounds like allows these, solving these like bigger problems of making like basically seeming together nature and business.
So the magic about blockchain is not the technology itself. It is the governance aspect behind it. It is a tool to allow decentralized trust. Now, trust is the currency that we humans have. We are social creatures, like so many others as well. So how does that work? Because we trust each other. We don't need to control everything all the time because there is something that we trust. Now, our economic system, we built a trust on money. Now, money is, accumulates at, the people who have the ability to gather it. So it actually is withdrawn from the whole system. Blockchain decentralizes, but also democratizes the exchange of value, and thus builds trust in a network in a decentralized manner that is not controlled by one entity, one company, or a state. So, and that makes it more democratic, more, and thus has social benefits. But it also makes it more biological, because that's what these are the kind of systems that we have in nature. So, in a way, blockchain, decentralized technology, Web3. It's a huge step forward in making more natural technology.
Wow. I love how you basically kind of like tied together trust and value or money, and how like the companies that have built the most trust are able to like take the most money basically, but they've also taken it out of the system and it's kind of, pulled it to the top and it's just still there. But basically blockchain is, enables everybody to diffuse that wealth again. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. So the issue is not like economy is not inherently bad or good, but it can be a tool for good. And we can do that when we don't extract the value out of the system. Now, value is extracted when shareholders actually have the interest of maximizing their return on investment. Now, if we keep value in the system because the shareholders are actually the people working in the companies, working or are the users. And that's what we can do through decentralized tokens, but also through decentralized governance and ownership. then it's not extracted. Then value is just exchanged. And this is what economy is actually about. It's about creating value together and exchanging value. And this is exactly what happens in nature. And nature is an economy. So we have the token or the unit, the currency of nature is energy, is information. So this is exchanged, and it's exchanged on a constant basis. It is not like gathered, it is not stored somewhere and extracted from the system. It's constantly exchanged.
Wow. Okay. I'm really loving this. Okay, so how would you describe swarm innovation?
So yeah, we coined the term swarm innovation. Because after I ended my scientific career to go into impact and business, I worked as an innovation consultant. So this is where I see that like innovation is evolution in action. It's a biological principle of evolution put into our human terms. We create something new through experimentation. Now, we need innovation, but innovation has always or naturally comes through a creative process of putting things together that haven't been together before. So, and this is what nature does actually on a matter of DNA and reshuffling DNA. Now, we do that by bringing together people that bring together their thoughts, our ideas, our DNA that we can mix, and we have to share them with others. And we get more creative, the more challenged we are, and the better we collaborate and communicate with others. And this is where the swarm is created. Now, why swarm? Why not just, you know, a herd or putting like a lot of people in a room? That's not where innovation happens. It happens when there is also a goal. That is, we put a common goal to people that they want to achieve together. And this is what we incentivize. So again, through blockchain, through tokenization, through tracking and making it transparent who does what in a system, this creates a swarm intelligence and bringing that together with the goal of creating the benefit for economy and society, that's swarm innovation.
I love that. What's an example, like a recent example that you would love to share?
Well, I mean, on the PlusTrade platform, we do that. We bring together not only stakeholders, companies that exchange, that put on the plastic they use, the tokens, but we put them into working groups together. So we bring experts in, as I said, from research and from NGOs together with the companies to say, okay, now we have a system that is not closed. How can we close it? How can we make it better? How can we reduce? How can we replace plastic? So we have these working groups, and we incentivize collaboration by putting all tokens to this collaboration. So the more you collaborate, the more you work in these working groups, the more your company benefits on the platform. So this is how we create an incentive to collaborate in creating innovation. That's, for example, swarm innovation on PlusTrade.
I love that. Okay, so what are you guys' processes for transforming companies to become more regenerative? And then, like, what are some of the blocks? This is a big one. What are some of the blocks that like come up when people are making these changes?
Yeah, that's both a good question. So first of all, I strongly believe that we can use processes to drive to be faster, to make our work more efficient. Now, efficiency is not the only measure, right? That's what drove business in the 20th century. But we also need to adapt to changes. We need to put the overall efficacies and the effectiveness more higher than efficiency. But processes make things more efficient. So we work in a process that we actually start to openly scout our network on a lot of networks we're in and impact and business. And it's pretty simple actually in conversations to get information and see the needs that are there in the industry. And then we get together with our experts, actually Swarm Innovation, to think about what could be possible starting points, possible approaches. And this is what we call the build phase. So we build an idea. We let creativity flow. From that, we go into the development phase and say, how can that solution look like? And we do that already with the companies we're going to work on later on. So they are our clients later on, but they are our users and our research partners in the beginning. And once we identified that solution, we build it. We built that solution, and that is the implementation phase, or what we also can call the seed phase. So seed in terms of biology, we plant a seed and something will grow from there. But also if you look at startups, it is where a company is really formed. Now, This doesn't have to be a company. It also can be a joint venture or just a multi-stakeholder working group. But we know exactly what we're working on. And the next thing is then continuation. So actually, we look at the growth curve from having basically nothing to having a growing plant or business in about 18 to 24 months. This is our process. And blocks, this is a new process, and if you start with something new, which is of course innovation, right? Creating something new, you always have to overcome established patterns. So we as humans, we form patterns. This is just how our mind works, but they also can block us. And these mind patterns are the most blocks, because economically it makes completely sense to cooperate. You can calculate it, and if you create incentives for everybody in the system, it's game theory actually, right? It's also an economic theory. But to really, really feel that, to trust that process, that is something new, and this mindset is still the block that we're encountering.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think about. Like, it's scientifically proven, and it's, all the theories are out there to suggest that cooperation, communication, all of these things benefit everybody. But it's like, how did we, if we're part of nature and we're like, of the earth, how did we get away from that? You know what I mean? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So, you see already, I think of biology, but I also think of philosophy. So what are the values? What are the core principles that drive us? Yeah. And so what we see here is, you could see that from economics, from mathematics, but also really from philosophy. Like, we work in a certain system that is economy, that is states, that is companies, but we do feel disconnected from the other systems around us. Like business and society are two different things. Why? Business should be a inside or part of society to be a of benefit for society. And society is embedded into nature. So we closely work with it. We're not disconnected. We have to live there, but we also get so many benefits, and we get more benefits if we also give back. So these mutual benefits between nested systems, as we call it, so systems that build onto each other, this is something that is really hard to visualize and hard to understand, how to feel, especially with our old mindset that the 20th century brought upon. So, as I said, overcoming these mind blocks will also help us thinking more in systems. We'll see that the exchange of value between the systems is good, and good for us as well, and that will bring forward the change.
Yeah, I love that. It kind of goes back to I'm imagining neurocell biology is like you're repatterning your brain. I mean, everybody's brain's being repatterned on some level, and that gets reflected in like collective consciousness and what's happening in culture. That's super interesting. I wonder if we could do like
that is what culture.
Yeah,
it's exactly that's what culture is. It's basically collective intelligence and collective heritage of our mind patterns. And so what we see right now is a change in society pushing towards more sustainability, and that is awesome, and that will change business. It takes a long time until these things change, because they're actually solidified patterns also in the minds of business managers. It's changing basically our behavior, it's changing our habits, and this will change our minds.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. Okay, so what are some brand new technologies that are emerging right now, like in the world of like biomimicry, regeneration, that would benefit more companies and the world as a whole?
So as I said, decentralization is truly an important tool for governance, for democratizing ownership as well, and value creation and value distribution. So I see blockchain as a huge opportunity. Yeah. And I'm not talking about crypto coins or art NFTs. Like the having really democracies in a business world, this is what blockchain can do for us. Obviously, augmenting our own intelligence and creativity with artificial intelligence is a push in the right direction, because things get more complex, they get faster, and we can't really keep up. Now we have to move a lot faster to not only do business or save ourselves, but actually to save the planet. So to use the right computer technology for that is surely a necessity. I mean, we could also talk about colonizing other planets and make them habitable, but I think this is not really what technology should be used in the first place. I think technology can help us a lot. The other thing is that we as humans need to evolve and need to also take our breaks from using technology and from being addicted and need the technology. So to withdraw, and you've been starting talking about spirituality. So really connecting into nature, allowing ourselves to just be out there, and you don't really need technology for that. It's always good to, you know, we have all information we want to have at the tip of our fingers. So that is great, because whenever we see something in nature, we can ask, hey, how does that work? I want to inform myself, and I can use that. And I could connect to others to share my thoughts. So in this respect, I see technology as a great tool. Also social media, it has to be used in the wise way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So what's like an example of using augmented technology to sort of like catch, you know, bridge the gap between the speed of change and like what we need to be doing, like for good?
So what we see is a strong development in green tech. That's like we talk about carbon capture, you talk about electric vehicles or further development there, increasing efficiency. These are all solutions that are great, but they are single solutions, and we need to connect these solutions to really make sense. So connecting them into networks, we can do that using technology, especially IoT. There's a great project called Nature 2.0. And which uses decentralized technology to, well, do good, but also to give nature a voice that is using sensors to put into nature, saying, okay, what does nature need right now? How would nature vote if it would be part of a democratic process? Awesome idea, yeah, to give nature technology. And so that's one thing. And of course, on the human level, to encourage exchange and co-creation. So it's not only co-consumption, like social media is often about, but it is co-creating the new. As I said, we have decentralized technology, we have social media for that. And we need that to build a swarm intelligence, to build a common consciousness in the world, of the world, and to take that better decision for the whole system, not only for ourselves or our states or our own companies.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so giving nature technology and giving it a voice, how does it like read, you know what I mean? Like, how does it like speak its voice, and how do they interpret that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not part of the project. I just learned about it on the conference. Yeah. And so what they do, they use sensors like CO2 sensors, soil sensors. And you see if there's too much, there's an increase in temperature, if there's an increase in CO2 levels or in or drought, then you can say, okay, nature needs now that and that. And that means not come and water me, but it means help the ecosystem. So to see these gaps and these changes in nature allows us to respond quicker to these needs, but also to, if we automate these things, it actually, nature can induce this process by itself if we interpret this data the right way. So there again, we need that artificial intelligence. We sort of need to give a brain to the whole ecosystem or to a local ecosystem. And then it could take part in the democratic process.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really awesome. Okay. So what are some growing trends in the field of biomimicry that you see? And then like, how do you, and this kind of goes to like solar punk, right? I'm sure you've heard of solar punk, but like, how do you see technology and nature merging in the coming years? I mean, you kind of just gave a great example, but like what, I mean, just kind of in your imaginative, because you're in this world all the time, like what do you kind of see happening in the coming years?
So obviously I see a huge surge in green tech, which is great. We need to change almost every technology to be sustainable in a way that it works with, that creates its own power. Decentralized power grids, for example, and is one thing. Then, of course, renewable energies. And there, what I really love is the development of biological photocells that is not the silicium-based like solar cells, but there are chlorophyll-based, so actually green and like work like leaves. That will be a great development. Then, well, I mean, we could also talk about the advantages of changing the way we do agriculture, or actually the kind of plants that we use, also the diversity of plants that we use to produce our food. And this is surely something that would need to change, because like monocultures, they drain the soil. So to become regenerative, a huge part of this also is built on the foundation, which is regenerative agriculture. Replanting forests, that is another thing that is, of course, very much pushed. Then again, you don't need to create isolated solutions. That is just planting trees. You need to create ecosystems. You need to increase biodiversity and connect natural or renaturized areas. So it's not only about planting a couple of trees and say you're CO2 neutral. It's about creating conditions that can create new life and new value for the planet on its own. And I see technology as a huge lever there. I see also that social and governmental efforts go in this direction. There are counter activities as well, of course, as we all know, that fight this change. But I think we are living in the impact or sustainability decade. So this development can't be stopped, and which is a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely can't be. Okay, so can I get a time check for you?
Hey, time check?
Yeah, just like where you're at as far as time.
Well, I can push my next meeting. So.
Okay, cool. Cause we're basically here at the end. But what does biomimicry mean to you?
Biomimicry is, to me, personally, really the essence of what I want to achieve in the world. I want to bring nature and humans together to help them both thrive. That's quite a huge goal, but that's why I see where we have to learn from biology, we have to protect it, we have to go back, and we have to acknowledge that we are nature, that we are connected to nature. So this is my personal drive. Nature, mimicry itself means to emulate life, that is not to copy life, not to rebuild new life. It means to be life, to function like life. Yeah. And I think that applies to us on a lot of different levels. Business and organizations, they have to be like natural organisms and like ecosystems. We ourselves have to see ourselves as being part of nature and also live and, well, feel better and more whole through nature. So it applies, it has both spiritual and philosophical as it has business implications.
Yeah. So I just kind of thought of this too. You're an educator, right, through the Biomimicry Academy?
Yeah, I founded Biomimicry Academy together with a few of my colleagues and lead it since 2 years.
Yeah, and so you teach students all about this?
Yeah, so we teach students, that is also university students, especially professional, like in professional education, so like later stage education. That's what we do in Biomimicry Academy. We do have a program founded by the European Union right now to bring biomimicry into schools. So that is before they graduate from school, to prepare them for taking charge of creating regenerative systems. So we are involved in all levels of education.
That's amazing. So I'm just curious, like the process when you're teaching students, I don't know how like the long the process is, whether it's like a semester or a couple of years, but or even just a day, but like the process that you see students go through as they learn about this like way of seeing the world, this framework, this understanding of nature's kind of the shift that they go through. You know what I mean? Like what happens for them? I'm curious.
So we really start off and saying this is not only an education, but it will change your life. It will change your perspective on the world. And yeah. I'm pretty certain we achieve that goal. So whenever you engage in the biomimicry process or you know, just connecting to nature, it does something with you, and you look at things afterwards differently. So first of all, you see everything around you can be a source of innovation, of inspiration, and thus innovation. So this is one thing. So you take something away, but then you also see, okay, well, to protect that, I have to do something myself. And then you dive deeper and deeper, and that can go on to that anybody could basically learn how to do research, how to scientific thinking, that everybody becomes a bit of a scientist, and on the other hand, an environmentalist as well. So this is what we want to achieve with the process. Students normally, these kind of programs that you can do it in a day. Our program at Biomimicry Academy is now online and self-paced. Our certification program and also of our colleagues around the world is about 3 to 6 months.
Yeah,
depending on the program, and we go through defining a challenge that is also connected to yourself. So, what do you want to change? What is your goal in the world? What's your purpose? And then how to make that happen? How do you relate that to the needs of the people and of the planet around you? Then go into nature and look how challenges solve there by natural systems. And then you go back basically to the drawing board and say, okay, now how do I translate what I just learned from nature into our own solution? The important thing in the end is that you make it applicable. There are, over the last decades, there have been some innovations, inventions on the biomimicry and biomimetic level, and they didn't make it to the market. So it's very important to have this entrepreneurial spirit to see, okay, I need to not only invent something, I need to bring it to the people so they can use it. They can use it in on their task, but also be able to create some sort of revenue. It doesn't have to be profit oriented, but it has to run and has to be fueled. And so this is why we end this process with looking at business models and market implementation. And out of this process, it's quite a demanding process, but it touches the participants and changes their life.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely has to be applicable to the real world. Otherwise, it just stays right here. And why didn't they make it to market? And then obviously you kind of like added that like having those marketing systems and the business models helps that. But like, why didn't those ones make it to market?
Why didn't so many inventions make it to the market?
Yeah, innovations, yeah.
Well, you have to start such a process always with the user in mind, and the user is directly connected to the market. So we all are in a way part of the market. There is a value exchange, an energy exchange, with money or other currencies. And so we always have to start, what do the people need and what do they want? Not what is the best technology or what could we do? So always start with the needs. And if you don't do that, you have a problem in the end. Then another thing that you see often with biomimicry is that you take inspiration from nature and then you put business constraints and financial constraints and technical constraints to it. So all of this great idea, which makes for a sustainable solution, nothing is left in the end. It's just a normal product where with some bioinspiration steps in between. And this is not really biomimicry. So, we have to apply biomimicry throughout the process. That is looking into nature for inspiration, but also double check in the end: are we still true to the principles of nature, and are we still true to our users and the needs? And if both needs are met, then we have a biomimic solution and innovation that can make it to the market.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so Fabian, where can people find you?
So yeah, I'm in Berlin, so come over and meet me for a coffee. Otherwise, you can meet us online, obviously, on www.cobiom.com, that is cobiom.com, or of course biomimicryacademy.com. Get into contact. I'm looking forward to your feedback, questions, and to connect for, well, business and philosophy.
Yeah. Fabian, this has been amazing. I really appreciate you and your depth of knowledge and experience. And thank you so much for this conversation.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed that. Thank you very much, Broderick.
Okay. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, you too. And I hope to talk to you another day.
As always, thank you for listening. And remember, Solutions for Earth is the best podcast in the world for the world. And you can find it anywhere podcasts are found. And at soulearthcoaching.com/podcast. Sending you all so much love.